Good morning. Well, obviously, I'm not John Paul. He's not feeling well today, but at least it's not COVID-related, so that's good. So this morning, you're going to be getting what we may have referred to in the military as a suitable sub. Of course, I guess to determine exactly how suitable, I guess you can determine that after the lesson, I guess. But the one thing I have learned over the years is that the Word of God tends to teach a better lesson than I do. So when you combine that with the kind of short amount of preparation time that I had, this lesson includes a lot of scripture reading. So if anybody's grading me on eye contact, I can tell you up front I'll probably fail that grade there. But before I get going on this lesson, I know one of the people that normally watches this online is my mother-in-law. And it just so happens that today's her birthday. So if I could get everybody on the count of three to say happy birthday, Shirley. One, two, three.
Happy birthday, Shirley.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. You know, the son-in-law's got to get those bonus points whenever they can, right? But another day in February that's almost as big as Shirley's birthday is Valentine's Day. And so I figured, what better subject to speak on than the subject of love, as some of you may have figured out from the scripture reading. Now, of course, the world's portrayal of love is often the Valentine's Day, romantic kind of love. And in and of itself, there isn't anything wrong with that, but with the kind of fairy tale love of the prince riding on the white horse and saving the princess kind of love. But, just like everything else in the world, oftentimes that kind of love is often fleeting and temporary. Instead, what we really need is the kind of undying, everlasting, I'm willing to sacrifice my only son to save your soul kind of love that God provides. To say that love is one of the main topics of the Bible would probably be considered an understatement, considering that the word love itself, appears anywhere from the mid-400s to mid-800s, depending on which translation you're looking at. Of course, love is very multifaceted. And, for those of us out there that are parents, you think about all the ways, you love your children and how that's manifested. You show them affection, you clothe them, you feed them, you teach them, you discipline them. And those are just a few examples. And needless to say, God's love for us is much more encompassing than that. Of course, I couldn't hope to come close to covering, all the facets of the types of love that we read about in God's Word. So in the few minutes today, I hope to uplift you with a few examples and reminders of the importance of love in our life. After all, Jesus told his disciples in John 13:35, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Now, for those of you that may have been in the military, we just love our acronyms, right? And one acronym that I've always appreciated is the acronym KISS, which stands for Keep It Simple, Stupid. So when I came down to narrowing this down, this huge subject of love down, I thought, well, I'll try to keep it as simple as I can. So what I decided to do was take one book from the Old Testament and one book from the New Testament and just talk a little bit about what they have to say about love. So from the Old Testament, I chose the book of Psalms. Once again, trying to keep things simple, I broke things down into what seemed to be the, three of the more prevalent themes that has to do with love. First one being, God loves righteousness and justice and hates evil. Secondly, the authors of Psalms reminded us often how great God's love is for us and how he deserves our love. And then lastly, the love of God's teaching. So Psalms 11:5 and 7. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. Psalms 33:5. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. 37:28. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. 45:7. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. 97:10. You who love the Lord hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. 99:4. The king's strength also loves justice. You have established equality. You have executed justice and righteousness. 145:20. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. 146:8. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. Well, needless to say, wickedness and evil are as prevalent as ever. Therefore, it's more important than ever to follow God's example and to love righteousness and justice and to not be bullied into silence by those who practice evil. In regards to God's great love for us, we're reminded in Psalms 5:11, "Let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you." Then Psalms 18:1, the title reads, "A psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of his enemies." I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. 31:23. O love the Lord, all you saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful. 40:16. Let all those who seek and rejoice and be glad in you, let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Psalm 70:4. Let all those who seek you and rejoice, let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you, and let those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Psalm 91:14. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Psalm 92:1. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. 116:1. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. And 145:1, titled A Song of God's Majesty and Love. I will extol you, my God, O King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Now, of course, these verses, they just, you know, scratch the surface of how these authors attempted to, you know, articulate how God, how great God's love is for us and how grateful we should be for that love. And, you know, they didn't even have the, you know, benefit of knowing about, you know, Jesus and all that he did for us as we do today. You know, as, you know, parents, you know, there may be some out there who maybe had the misfortune of seeing, you know, a child suffer greatly. And as a parent, you know, you would do anything to relieve their pain. You know, you'd even take their place if you could. You know, I think situations like this can, you know, give us, you know, a little bit of insight and perhaps a small, you know, fraction of the suffering that God went through, you know, on our behalf when he sent his son, you know, to us, you know, to serve as a reminder of how, you know, grateful we are to, and how deserving God is of our love. And moving on to the third theme, the love of God's teaching, we read in Psalms 119. As a matter of fact, all these are out of Psalms 119, so I'll just be referencing the verses. First one being 47 and 48. And I will delight myself in your commands, which I love. My hands also I lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Verse 97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. 119, you put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. 127, therefore, I love your commandments more than gold. Yes, more than fine gold. 140, your word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. 159, consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. 165, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. And 167, my soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. Now, of course, as Christians, you know, we're under the new covenant, you know, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't, you know, long and thirst for, and of course, love the Word of God. You know, after all, it's directly tied to the two other themes that I discussed, because, you know, how could we truly discern between righteousness and evil if we don't know the Word of God? Or how could we have a complete understanding of God's great love for us if we don't know what His Word says? So moving on to the New Testament, I chose the book of 1 John, which uses the word love more than any other book in the New Testament, with the exception of the Gospel of John. Now, of course, given the fact that the subject of love is so prevalent, it makes it a little bit more difficult to keep with my goal of keeping things simple. But I'll attempt to do so by focusing on one of the prevalent themes, and that is, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to love one another. For example, John tells us in 1 John 3:11, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And 3:23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now, loving one another, you know, seems kind of obvious, but John provides, you know, further explanation of, you know, why this is so important. In chapter 2 and verse 10, he says, he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. In 4:7, he says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And in chapter 4, verse 11 and verse 12, we read, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. So we see here that John is tied loving each other with learning how to love God. By showing love to each other, we can better learn to know God through love and be able to see God through love. He goes on to say in 1 John 4:8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And he continues on in verse 16 with, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. So you can see here how love, you know, ties, you know, so many things together. And after all, you know, things, you know, that are loose, if they're not tied together, tend to fall apart. John also points out another benefit that love can provide in chapter 4 and verse 18, when he says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And just think how much more, you know, we could accomplish in the kingdom if we didn't let fear, you know, get in our way. And I think for a lot of people, fear is probably the number one reason why, you know, they don't, you know, speak the good news of the gospel of Christ, you know, more than they do. But as we just read, you know, perfect love can cast out fear. You know, when it comes to love, you know, the world will often, you know, tie it to our emotions. And while emotions can certainly play a part, you know, John reminds us that when it comes to love, you know, action is what really counts. In 1 John 3:17 and 18, we read, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in needs and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. I believe the church family, you know, here in Warrensburg, you know, does a good job of loving one another. But, you know, as the old saying goes, you know, there's always room for improvement. And when it comes to improving our love for one another, you know, I think we'd have a hard time finding a better guide than the one found in 1 Corinthians 13, which gives a more extensive definition of love. Picking it up in verse 4, we read, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And moving down to verse 13, and now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Well, this concludes my lesson for today. If there is anyone who may have any needs that they would like to make known at this time, or if there's anyone who, through the study of God's Word, has determined that Jesus is the Son of God and they want to be baptized, we offer this time that for you to come forward and make these needs known as we stand and sing the invitation song.